of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
As soon as the horses were rested, we started off again. But the higher we got, the harder it was for the animals to keep moving. The air was thinner now. You noticed it every time you took in a gulp. And the trail seemed even fainter than before. Oh, a couple of times we missed it completely and just went off on a tangent. And then we had to swing around and try to pick up where we'd gone wrong.
I'll never catch up with them at this rate.
No, I wouldn't worry about it, Kit.
What do you mean?
I still haven't seen any fresh tracks. Looks to me like nobody's been through here since last rain.
If you'd keep your eyes on the trail instead of looking for horseshoe marks, we might not get lost so often.
Easy, kid.
I told you boys you were letting yourselves in for something.
Yeah, you told us. Well, come on, let's see if we can make up some time.
I sure couldn't help notice, but the longer we rode, the less friendly Kit Springer got. I sort of put it down to the fact that he must have been sort of worn out. We weren't taking any pleasure jaunt, that was for sure. I couldn't blame him for being a little down at the mouth. But there was one thing that sort of troubled me about this fella. Something he said kept pecking at the back of my brain.
I cut my hand the other day. That must have been when it happened. I didn't realize I'd smeared my belt.
I shifted around and glanced back over my shoulder. Kit had one hand on the saddle horn and the other was gripping the reins. The cut must have been all healed up by now. Leastways, he didn't seem to have any trouble with it. And a cut deep enough to spot his belt that way, it must have taken several days to get well. Funny, he'd never noticed the blood on his belt before I mentioned it to him. Well, one thing was certain, Kit Springer sure couldn't be much of a dude. The sun finally went down and we made camp for the night. We managed to find a pretty good-sized level spot right above the trail. Lex had built a fire. I cooked up a mess of beans and some pan bread. Kit didn't seem to be very hungry, though.
Moon ought to be coming up pretty soon.
Oh, another hour or so.
Think it'll give off much light?
Oh, some, I guess.
Not enough to see by, huh?
To see what?
Well, you said we were almost through the pass, didn't you?
Well, we've got a couple, three more miles.
Why do we have to stop here, then? The horses could feel their way.
Just simmer down, Kit. Just simmer down. It's plain enough we're not going to run into those fellows you're after. They're either out of the pass now, or what's more likely, they never took this trail in the first place. That posse's probably captured them hours ago. Some more coffee, Lex?
Yeah, thanks.
Kit?
No, I've had enough. There's a town on the other side of the pass, ain't there?
Yeah, English Creek. Just a little burg.
Well, spending the night there would be a whole lot better than sitting out here. We could get a bath and a shave, change of clothing.
You wouldn't want to risk your neck on the trail just for a bath, would you?
No, I guess not. But I ain't very comfortable wearing the same breeches and shirt day after day.
That's so. I didn't figure you for the particular type.
Well, you figured wrong, Mr. Ponsett. Kit's a real fancy Dan.
Oh, that's so.
Yeah, you ought to see him on Saturday night when he starts off for town. Looks like a real riverboat gambler. That's what he looks like.
Well, there's nothing the matter with a man just because he tries to keep himself presentable, is there?
No, nothing at all.
Well, reckon we might as well turn in.
All right, you fellas go ahead. I'll bank the fire. You know, it's funny you never used this trail before.
What's so funny about it?
Well, seeing as how you live in Black Ledge.
We never said we live there.
No, I guess you didn't, come to think of it. But, well, since you were part of Sheriff's posse, I sort of jumped at the conclusion.
We were just passing through on our way to Beaver Junction. We heard about the train robbery. Seemed like the sheriff needed all the help he could get, so we volunteered.
Not to mention the reward, of course.
Not to mention the reward.
Hey, by the way, who is the sheriff of Black Ledge now?
What difference does it make?
Well, I'm just curious, that's all.
I don't remember his name. Wasn't time for any formal introductions. Folks just call him Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, I see. Big fella, is he? With a mustache?
Look, Ponsett, you were the one who was so all-fire determined on us stopping for some shut-eye. So how about settling down?
Sure.
Night.
Good night. I rolled up my blanket and I turned my face toward the fire. And as far as I could tell, the Springer boys hadn't been lying to me. A man could join up with a posse and not find out the sheriff's name. And I guess a man could ride himself half to death on the off chance of earning him $1,500 reward if he had a mind to do it. Of course, it hadn't worked out. Kit's hunch on the train robbers were using this pass. It just hadn't worked out. But I'd played plenty of wild hunches myself. Not then I dropped off to sleep. The last thing I remember is hearing my mind say, maybe you're wrong, Ponset. Maybe those outlaws are using the pass after all. It just kept echoing through my head. Maybe you're wrong, Ponset. Well, it must have been 6-7 hours later when I... At first, I wasn't sure what it was that woke me up. One of the horses, maybe. I started to drift off again.
Lex. Lex. Mm-hmm. Shh. What's the matter?
It's almost dawn. You gotta start moving.
What about Ponset? Are you awake?
I don't think so.
Brett. Brett.
I don't know what it was that kept me from answering back, but I just laid there, hardly breathing, not moving, not even opening my eyes.
Guess he's still asleep.
Yeah. We ain't gonna need him the rest of the way, Lex.
That's what I figured.
Trouble is, he knows our names, what we look like. Sooner or later, he'd put two and two together.
You didn't have to tell him who we was.
I knew it wouldn't make no difference one way or the other.
You're gonna shoot him, kid.
Nope. You are.
Me?
Yeah. I'm already wanted for a couple of killings, Lex. But they're only after you for robbery. Even though you're my brother, if the going got too rough someday, you might want to ease out of the partnership.
You know better than that, kid.
I'll know it for sure. After you kill Ponset. Well?
Okay, kid. Whatever you say.
I'll get the horses. Hurry it up.
I heard Kit move off across the clearing. For a minute, that's all I heard. Then Lex started moving, too. I lifted my eyelids just a hair, and I saw him through the lashes. He pulled his revolver out of the holster. My gun belt was lying right beside me, and I inched my left hand toward it real slow so he wouldn't notice. I felt my fingers slide across a couple of stones, but the gun was still a little space beyond. I hadn't touched it yet. Lex was standing right over me now. I wasn't going to have much more time. If I didn't get a grip on that gun the next second or two, I spun over as he fired. But the bullet had seared my shoulder and dug into my chest. My right hand jerked up and I let fire. At first I thought I'd missed him. I saw his fingers start to squeeze off another shot, but he never finished pulling the trigger. His whole body was shaking like an aspen tree, and he just tilted forward. I slid out of the way as he fell. I hadn't had time to feel the pain before now, but it started tearing through me so bad I almost let out a yell.
One shot ought to have been enough to... Lex!
Just hold it there, Kit.
Brett, what? It
seems you were right about the train bandits using this trail to... The words wouldn't come out. And everything started blurring in front of my eyes, and I could barely keep from dropping my gun. It was getting light now. Kit could see how bad I was shot. He whipped his revolver up from his side. The sound kind of jerked me back to my senses, and I managed to pull the trigger. I knew my aim wouldn't be so good, but it was good enough to send Kit diving back of a rock for cover. And there was a tree stump not more than a couple feet away, and I managed to roll myself behind it.
I know you're hurt, Ponset. You can't hold out much longer.
I sure wasn't in any way to argue with him. If I could just
get off a couple of more shots, maybe he'd think twice before it, but I didn't have enough strength to... What's that? That couldn't be Kit fired. I pushed my chin up to the edge of the stump. What is... Are there horses coming up the trail from the same direction we'd come? And for a minute, I couldn't think who, and then I remembered. The posse. They'd been following us all the time. That's why Kit was so anxious to stay on the move. Well, that's the sheriff, Springer. I wouldn't plan on going much further. I could see him. I knew he was calling his horse. There was only one way back, trail. He had to ride past me in the open. I propped myself up against the side of his stump, and I shifted my gun to my left hand, and for a minute I thought the trigger was stuck, and then I...
He's coming too, Sheriff.
Yeah, good, good.
How you feeling, Brad?
What? Doc? Well, Doc Easton, what the Sam hell are you doing out here?
Well, there's no law saying a doctor can't go along with a posse, is there?
No. Well, for my sake, it's a good thing you did. Well, what about Kit Springer? Did you catch up with him, Sheriff?
You saved us the trouble, Brett.
Well, I couldn't have done that. He must have got away. That last shot of mine, that was a mile wide.
Well, maybe you didn't exactly hit him, but you sure scared the daylights out of his horse.
What?
Yeah, we saw the whole thing from down below. Springer was just turning out of the trail when you fired. His horse reared and started slipping over the edge. Springer tried to jump clear, but he just couldn't seem to tear himself loose from that saddle.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing, Britt. When we finally found him, his body was still fastened to that saddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the belt he was wearing had got caught onto the horn somehow. That must have been what drug him along when his horse fell.
Never heard of a man's belt hooking onto a saddle horn before.
Neither did I, but that's what happened, all right.
Yeah. Well, how about it, Britt? You gonna be able to ride on into English Creek after I finish bandaging you up?
Yeah, I'll do my best, Doc. I'll sure do my best.
Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Eleanor Audley, Forrest Lewis, Bill Conrad, Joel Cranston, and Frank Gerstle. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Spend 30 minutes with Sunday at Home next on the NBC Radio Network.